Enron executive Sharon Watkins went public today and placed the blame for the energy giant's collapse squarely on former senior executives Jeffrey Skilling and Andrew Fastow. Watkins' name became well-known last month with the release of several memos she wrote to former chairman Kenneth Lay. Today, she told her side of the story to Congress. As NPR's Emily Harris reports, Watkins' testimony largely contradicts what ex-CEO Jeffrey Skilling said in a hearing last week.
Jeff Skilling told Congress last Thursday he didn't really know details about Enron's off-books partnerships, and he wasn't required to approve Enron's dealings with them. Today, a calm and decisive Sharon Watkins told Representative Diana DeGette Skilling strategized bookkeeping as long as she's known him.
He sat in on a number of meetings where I was present, where we were trying to devise a real hedging strategy.
So he was involved hands-on,
yes,
personally in,
yes,
accounting meetings, talking about accounting treatments,
yes,
of transactions.
Skilling said in his testimony he didn't sign off on several partnership deals because he didn't have to, even though his name was printed on approval sheets. DeGette asked Watkins whether that made any sense to her.
Would it, in your experience, be like Mr. Skilling to not sign those?
No, the procedures around our approval sheets were cast in stone. Any capital expended at Enron above a certain amount had a deal approval sheet, and no deal could be done without all those approvals.
Watkins used a past statement by Skilling to evaluate his testimony last week. If it doesn't make sense, she quoted him as saying, don't believe it. Watkins also told Congressman Peter Deutsch that off-book transactions were set up in a way that gave huge profits to ex-CFO Andrew Fastow.
The saying around Enron was that heads, Mr. Fastow wins, tails, Enron loses.
And that obviously is not a transaction.
No.
That's not a business transaction. I mean, could you contemplate in any shape, manner, or form that there was a business purpose?
No, other than making sure those losses were not borne by Enron's financial statements.
That helped meet Wall Street expectations. Watkins says the problem she found was that Enron's stock backed several partnerships, and those partnerships took debt off Enron books. That means the stock price was used to boost Enron's balance sheet, something she'd learned was forbidden in basic accounting. And Watkins says she wasn't the only one who knew about these arrangements.
My concern was that it seemed to be just common knowledge that the Raptor losses were backstopped by Enron stock. And I was shocked that people could explain this to me with no concern in their voice, like there was some magic structure that Enron and Anderson had come up with to make this work.
But few people said anything, in large part, Watkins says, because Skilling and Fastow were intimidating and forceful. She went straight to Ken Lay because she feared if she told Skilling or Fastow, she would be fired. Watkins says Lay seemed concerned by her allegations, but she says he never fully grasped the problem, even after she explained it several times.
I do believe that Mr. Skilling and Mr. Fastow, along with two very well-respected firms, did dupe Ken Lay and the board.
The firms she refers to are auditors Arthur Anderson and attorneys Vinson and Elkins. Watkins vetted her worries with an old colleague at Anderson, but Congressman Greg Gansky wanted to know why she didn't share her concerns with securities regulators.
Tell me what you were feeling about that time, whether you had an ethical obligation to let this be known.
I wasn't thinking legally. I really felt like I could not go outside of the company. Enron was full of bright people. There were maybe calm ways of addressing this. I mean, having it hit the press in an inflammatory way would definitely hasten the demise. What I wanted to do was restate, come clean, but with some contingency plans.
Watkins acknowledged selling some Enron stock, $47,000 worth of options, when the price jumped higher than its exercise price. That was after she first alerted Ken Lay to her concerns. Today's hearing was full of financial and accounting details, but a little art and literature got in there, too. One congressman brought in a copy of The Emperor's New Clothes. He called Jeff Skilling the emperor, backed by a silent staff. To describe Watkins, he mentioned a country music ballad, Good-Hearted Woman. Emily Harris, NPR News, Washington.